Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Tuesday. It's November the 27th, and we're so glad that you could join us wherever you may be, whatever device you may be using. And my prayer is that you are here and ready to receive something from God tonight. Yes, we do a lot of different things on the show. We do a lot of fun, but the number one objective is to talk about Jesus. And the biggest thing I care about is your soul. And I care about that more than anything else. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, prayerfully you'll call in to the show, or somehow you'll to know my Jesus, because we live in a very dark day. We do. It's a very dark day. And you you don't want to be left behind. No, you don't. And that's why we come to you via means of this radio program. And of course, this show is always brought to you by the wonderful flavors of Coca-Cola, best soft drink ever, available at a McDonald's near you for the price of just $1. You heard me right. Just $1 gets you a delicious Coca-Cola. Now, at McDonald's, they don't have the Coca-Cola Freestyle. But at places where it is available, you have other choices to choose from, like a cherry Coke or a vanilla Coke, and my point that I always try to make when I say about Coke being the best is, you know, you're going to drink whatever soda you're going to drink if you drink a soda. If you're going to drink whatever soda you're going to drink, but I always like to say that the best type of soft drink out there is, in my mind, the Coca-Cola. Of course, made by the Coca-Cola company down there in the Atlanta area. And I always like to say, forget about the diet soda, just go drink a regular. Because for one thing, diet's not as good for you as regular, but also, let's be honest, it's not as tasty as regular. But you've kind of known that, like, forever, right, Annie, that, like, it's, that it was never tasty? When I was little, I used to think it tasted okay, but then like high school was literally the last time I ever drank a diet soda.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, forget about this diet stuff. I just want a regular soda to drink. So that's where that went with me, was that I decided, you know, I'm just going to go with my classic regular soda that has always tasted so good. And so that's when my relationship with diet soda ended, because once I graduated, a lot of times, like at my high school, at times I would drink the diet soda out of desperation, because unfortunately they made the choices to take regular soda out of the schools. And to be honest with you, it's up to parents to decide what their kids should and should not be eating at school, particularly at the high school age, I will say. At the middle school age, I would say you probably shouldn't have pop in the middle school, because for one thing, the middle school kids are kind of crazy and they might want to spill it. And that can be kind of rough in itself. Did you ever hear that about a certain middle school, that that's why they didn't have pop?
No, I'll just
do
something.
You had heard that assumption before, though?
Yeah.
Back in, like, you heard that that idea was more in the 90s. That's why many of them never had it?
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm sure they would have had them. Because back then, it was all about, how do we get that money? It's kind of like the, folks, it's kind of like the McDonald's and the hospitals thing. Some people are going to get really, 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 really mad at me for saying this. But guess what, folks? I don't care. I really don't think that McDonald's in a hospital is that bad of an idea. As long as it's not the first choice, by any means, that the patients get to have. For visitors and all that, or for patients, so it won't hurt, I don't think it's a bad idea. I'm also not saying that any hospital has to have it, but to those who do, I would not be in a hurry. I would not, if I was them, I would not be in a hurry to terminate the lease. Now, if they want to leave, you know, decide that the rent's too high or whatever's not working out for them, then you know, I just want, the way I look at it, I just want businesses to succeed. And so that's what I am with that. So moving on, I just thought I would let you know, folks, kind of what the plan is for this evening. Oh, that is so cool. Hi, Grandpa. Yeah, I know my mother is up there, and so, because she was there at my house to drop some things off for me at my house coming up from Detroit on her way up to the Northland. My mom has been in the process of writing a book about me. And it's really powerful. But what I'm saying is, hello, Grandpa. I'm glad you and my mom chose to join the program this evening. And as a heads up, folks, I want to let you know that there's going to be at least one Christmas song basically every show from here on through Christmas Day. I mean, here on through the last show we do before Christmas. Depending on the day, some days there will be one. Others there'll be two of them. Part of that is going to depend on the amount of sports and that we have to cover, because we have a little less to get to, then that means we have a little more time. So tonight there is going to be two. One will be before we get into prayer, so in the next few minutes. And then the other one tonight will be doing near the close of the program. It'll be like the last thing we do on this program. Because I was just thinking about that earlier, you know, when I was planning the show, thinking about you know, what I'm going to speak about, and thinking about, you know, with God, what does he want? I'm thinking about, so that's what I think is part of what we're going to do tonight. In addition, we are, sorry, I was just putting something together. And I was, putting something back together, I should say. So, as far as a, monologue, you know, some of my favorite times I've had, let's face it, there's only one time a year that I only want snow on the ground. One time. One certain period out of the winter. It is very specifically between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Are you basically the same way, Annie? Where basically the only time you want snow on the ground is between Thanksgiving and Christmas? But not really any other time, huh?
No, never. I did not like the snow.
Not, what about, maybe between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but that's it? Because it helps. And part of that is because it's a natural ornament. But that's basically the only reason.
Yeah.
Same with me, because for me it's like a natural Christmas thing. It'd be like if all the Christmas tree stuff in your house naturally appeared, you didn't have to do anything to put it up. It'd be like that. And then I would like if it would just go away, you know, either after, like, either on, like, the 26th, or even, like, earlier mid-January, you know, about the time people put their trees away. You know, just enough to kind of keep it throughout the seasonal period. That said, most all of my favorite memories I have with the snow, especially when I was little, all of them were around the holidays. Whatever few weren't, the only good memories from them would have just been because, we got a snow day. Or because it was my brother's birthday, maybe, and we went to City Forest to go sledding. But aside from that, I don't think there was a certain age in particular where I said, I used to like the snow, now I don't. Do you think there was a certain age with you or no?
Yeah, probably high school.
Like, yeah. And there was more to it than just, I don't want to have to go take my exam.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to take my exam. It was, I don't want to deal with this cold.
Exactly.
And so, for me, I would say, I've always been more of a warm weather guy myself, but I would say, especially around that time, I would say more so my relationship with the cold turned even more sour after that snow day we should have got that we didn't get.
Exactly.
Would you say that was your breakup moment?
Oh yeah.
Like was it maybe a different time, or do you think it was maybe that right there?
It was that.
You feel like that right there was your breakup moment?
Yep.
That is so funny. That was both of us was literally the exact same thing. It's like, so that's when I basically said, I'm done, and so ever since then, that was when I would say about a year after that, or even a few months after that, was when I would call my enhanced fascination with the South started, because I was liking a lot before then, but even more after that. Was it the same with you, kind of, sort of?
Yep.
That it kind of shifted, and then months after that, you would say that summer, or was like in your mind, it was like, oh, time to go south.
Yep.
Because for me, it really, that's exactly how it went down in my life. It is so crazy how so many different people, the world different, you know, and for a lot of things, they'll think so much alike. And I don't think it's just because we live in one of the coldest states on Earth. In America, one of the snowiest and coldest. To put it in retrospect, when you look at snow, we get on average 44, 45 inches of snow per year up here in the Midland Bay, Saginaw area. 44, 45, 46. Flint's about 46, 47. Places to the north are much higher, to be about 41, 42, but you look at Toledo, Ohio, for example, like 24 inches, that's it, on an average year.
Wow.
So it's like you cross the border, and it's like it's like the bottom kind of drops out of it on the snow.
Yep.
Even Cedar Point, believe it or not, how much snow do you honestly think they get a year?
30?
Well, they're by a lake, so what would your mind think?
I don't know, like
maybe like 48. 40. No, it's not 48. It's like 20.
Oh, wow! Well,
yeah, and then but I tell you, who does get crushed by it is Buffalo. But they're on Ontario, not Erie, and that kind of makes a difference. Now Cleveland gets a lot. I feel like a lot of times who tends to get the most snow are those who are on the eastern shore of one of the Great Lakes, and I wonder why that is. I really wonder why that is. What do you think it is? Is it the way of the wind a lot of times, or?
Yeah. It's got to be something to do with the wind and the big open areas.
Because even Cleveland is 50 inches. Cleveland's more than Detroit. It really is. It's what I would call an anomaly. Because it's a great, because it's a total outlier in a state that otherwise is considered to get about the typical amount of snow for America. Because they say like the average American should see 24 inches of snow a year on a certain weather site I had seen. And that's just an average they use. I hope they didn't come up with that just because of Ohio being in the middle.
I don't know.
It just seems like for so much stuff, Ohio's just right there on average. It's kind of funny. Like it's right in the middle on this, on that, on a lot of other stuff. You know that it's like right. Part of it's just the large population or something, maybe. Who knows? But it is how, at least weather-wise, I'm sure the location has a ton to do with it because it's not near the water, especially in – although I will say, folks, when you're in southern Ohio on the Mason-Dixon line, you know, like a city like Cincinnati, for example, they only get like 12, 13 inches of snow a year. That's it. The American average is 24. So, well, it really does depend, and there's certain thing, factors that come into play. But anyhow, while I'm at it, let me also remind you, speaking of snow and Christmas, is right now, you can go to your local McDonald's and you can order, you can have what is called holiday pies. What it is a vanilla custard pie, and it's very good. I had my first ones of the season on Sunday night, in fact. And as good as always. I came through this McDonald's because I wanted an eggnog shake. Unfortunately, they didn't have them yet. And I don't know when they're even going to get them, doggone it, because I really want one. So I ended up getting the Christmas pies instead. And they're just amazing, and they're one of a kind, and only available just like Christmas comes and goes, so do the holiday pies. So get them while they last, because they'll be gone. So I want to encourage you, please, tell other people, tell listeners about this great program we have here, about this preacher and the miracle man. It's awesome. We do this for you. And I want to tell you how you can tell other people how they can be a part of it. What you do is you go to blogtalkradio.com. You, listeners, you already found it. What I'm doing is telling you how you can tell other listeners. So you have them go to blogtalkradio.com, or saw one word. After that, what they'll want to do is they'll see a search bar. In the search bar, they're going to want to type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay, that's Upfront Entertainment. After that go button, you'll see a link, and that link says Live and Large. Live and Large, yep. And then after that, you get click on that. You'll see a little button bubble thing there that says The Preacher and the Miracle Man. Click on that thing, please. And then we got an awesome feature. It's called the follow button. And here's something real cool happens when you hit that follow button. You don't want to know what it is? It's that you get notified. Yeah, you get notified when we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, 6:30, showtime, baby. As we do this every Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, from about 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Generally, Monday night and Wednesday night are done a little closer to 8, and then Tuesday night is done about 50. But since we're going to sing a couple carols tonight, it'll probably be closer to 8, but we love it, and I mean, I love doing this, and hopefully you guys enjoy the program. And we have a telephone number as well where you can call into the program. And be a part that way. You can come on board and talk to me. Do you need prayer? Is there something you want to ask me about sports? Is there a specific Christmas song that you want me to sing? Generally, we can talk about anything you want to, as long as it's not about politics. Politics you want to talk about, I'm going to tell you to pray for the leaders that have authority over you. And the number you can call to be a part of this is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is area 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, please, and then you'll want to press 1 when you go through the you hear the prompt that says to call into a live the live show, press 1. You'll want to press 1. And then Annie, yes, sitting over here, will let me know that we got a call screen, I mean that we got a call coming in.
Yes.
And then we're going to, you just want to tell her who you are, where you're from. And then I'm going to, and then she'll tell me, and then I'll say, go on ahead. And then you'll get the floor, and I'm going to say, so-and-so from, or let's say you. And then that's how you know you have the floor and you get the. And as I said, we can talk about basically anything. And with that, hopefully we can get some great calls tonight. But first, before I sing, Miss Carol, let me remind you folks that it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smart device. Always. Because you use your tablets, your iPhone, iPad, iPod, whoever has one these days still, your BlackBerry. My pastor used to call his a blueberry. but whatever smart device you have, it's a smart thing to listen to this program on. Because you see, you use it for everything else. Why not use it for something that's going to breed life into you? Okay? Now, the first Christmas carol that I'm going to sing tonight is a song you all know. At least the first verse. And it is, "O come all ye faithful." By the way, I will be singing this at my local church here in Midland on Sunday morning. "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sweet Lord, we greet thee. Mourn this happy morning, Jesus, to thee all glory be. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
Oh, by the way, folks, by the way, when I kept saying, let us, let us, let us, I was not saying, oh, come on, roaming lettuce, come to the table so we can eat you up. By the way, folks, if you got the roaming lettuce, unless you know where it's from, they have cleared certain roaming lettuce from certain places. Please look at that packaging. If it's not from these certain places, in like the certain California highlands and a couple of other places, please don't eat it. In fact, if you got it, throw it out.
Clock real quick here. Let me just see.
Oh, wow. We're going to pray. And we're going to open up the word for a little bit. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for these listeners who have chosen to be a part of this program. I thank you that these people, you know what they have need of, more than what they know. I thank you that they are ready to receive from you tonight, that they're ready to learn, and that they're ready to put it into practice and do what you would have them do for you. And also, Lord, thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight, an oracle of your word, an oracle for you. And I give you permission to do whatever you wish tonight. I confess right now over the show, new equipment comes into this program, sponsors and partners come into this program, more and more listeners come into this program, and more importantly, souls come into this program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Now, let's go to Matthew
14. Matthew 14. I'm going to begin reading. You go ahead and catch up because I don't know what that clock was doing to me. It was flying by on me, I guess. But I'll begin. You go ahead and catch up. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. And he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John, and he had bound him and had put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It isn't lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter, given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. Verse 13 now. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick people. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. Your alarm didn't go off, Jesus. Where was your alarm?" I added, "No, it doesn't say that. Because remember, Pastor's alarm going off?"
Yep.
Of course, they didn't have alarms back then. I just did that to be funny.
Right.
They came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. The disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Verse 22 now. This is where Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, and he was walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he was beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, and he caught him. And with, "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all of the surrounding country. People brought all of their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. All right. Let me just look at my clock here. All right. We're going to go to Hebrews 11 now. Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Let me just pick this up real quick. Just picking this up. Why these cords like to get in the way sometimes, we will never know. Maybe we'll have to ask God when we go to heaven to why. Just untangling my cord. There it is. There, well, now we got it. That's much better. Now that we have that mess taken care of, we can actually go to Hebrews 11. So, and folks, whoever beat me, I'm going to get you next time. Might have to teach you some Bible drills so that you go there even quicker. Hebrews 11. And as we normally do when we read this chapter. We're going to go to the start of verse 1. I figured tonight we would go to about verse 20. And then I'll stop there because I want to be able to exhort. And then I got some sports to get to, but it's not football like Monday or Wednesday, so we have a little more flexibility. Nonetheless, let's get right to the scripture. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man, spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch, when he was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We like to say, but with faith, it is possible to please God. Anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, just like Isaac and Jacob did, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of those who were still living by faith when they were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Amen. Now,
Let's talk for a couple of minutes. Well, we read what we looked and what we looked at. Jesus and he, along with the disciples who were with him. By the way, the disciples that he had were like the best ushers you could want. They were amazing ushers. So it would be like in the church world, we'll be at church and on we have the ushers and the deacons and the ministers. And the disciples that Jesus had were essentially set. Many of them were more like ushers, but later in the New Testament, Peter is a teacher. First, he would be like a minister under Jesus. But what I'm using that to say is Jesus, he goes, and he's doing ministry work, after he goes to learn, teaches, he goes, he finds a crowd. So what he does is he goes, to preach to them. And at the end of the day, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Well, Jesus, what are we going to do about food for these people? Do we want to send them away, dismiss them? Because it is kind of late at night." And then Jesus says, "We got food here." And then they said, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's not going to feed all these people." But you want to know what Jesus did? He had a miracle for that. He multiplied those 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fishes. And you want to know what? The 5,000 men ate and were satisfied. And all those women. And all those kids. No one went to bed hungry. They all ate and were satisfied. In fact, they had like 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. He did a miracle. He multiplied all that stuff. One time I heard from a Benny Hinn crusade, I heard someone testify about how there had only been a certain amount of meds to last them a certain amount of time. But then guess what? The meds were multiplied. And they ended up with more than enough, and it was able to last them a lot longer. So don't you tell me that God is not in the business of multiplying. He is. He is. He is. He is. And then
after all that, Jesus goes up on top of a mountain to pray. Wouldn't you know it, middle of the night comes, lake, storm. Yep, there was a storm on the lake. Pretty bad one, pretty high waves and stuff. You gotta imagine it was either a gale, a high gale, maybe a tropical storm. But he goes out to where these people are, and he's walking on the water. And Peter and the other disciples are so afraid. And Peter says, if it's you, God, Jesus, let me come walk to you, walk out there to you. So Peter's stepping out of the boat, walking on the water, and he yells out, ends up having to yell out, Lord, save me. Jesus grabs him, being compassionate, but he says, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? You know, if you believe in God for something to take place in your life, whatever the miracle may be, not only should you be grateful, we'll say he's done a lot of miracles for you, like he has for me. And this is why you don't want to forget what he's done for you, because then you won't have anywhere near as much of a chance to doubt. Because you got to be able to believe. You can't doubt. You can't doubt God. You can't doubt that Jesus is going to do the miracle. And yes, by the way, you do need to be grateful. By the way, sometimes, like Peter did, probably needed to, you know, this technology, you know, our phones, our computers and stuff, it's wonderful, wonderful. But sometimes our technology likes to run slow or do things we don't want it to, or, you know, just not act right. Sometimes you just got to hit that restart button. That can mean sometimes you got to turn it off and turn it back on. Sometimes you got to reboot your faith. That doesn't mean, you know, get rid of all faith you had in God. No, you got to refresh. You just got to reboot your faith sometimes. You got to reboot it. Just like how sometimes when it's not working right, we got to reboot the laptop or reboot the iPhone. Sometimes we got to reboot the faith so that we can withstand the day. Let me just check my clock. All right. I see that there are about 20 minutes left. And so with that, I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to get into sports. Then I'm going to sing the other Christmas carol. And think I'm going to do Holly Jolly Christmas tonight. Yeah. That's what I think I'm going to do tonight, is Holly Jolly Christmas. But first off, dear Jesus, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you for the miracles that you do, Jesus. The miracles you have done in us. The miracles you're going to continue to do for us. And I just thank you that you are with us at all times and that your word is never void. I don't know what that means, we feel, but Lord, thank you that this word will not be void to us. And we'll be doers of this word and not hearers only. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now for sports. Red Wings fell last night to the Columbus Blue Jackets by the score of 7-5. We were down by a lot, and then we scored some goals and got back in it. But then Columbus basically decided, yeah, we're going to put a couple empty netters in there and get a couple more goals. And yep, they did that. By the way, when is Michigan going to stop losing to Ohio at everything? We struggled to beat Cleveland when it mattered. The Tigers did. We didn't beat Ohio State on Saturday. We got crushed. The Red Wings didn't beat Columbus. I think I can say lightly about Michigan versus Ohio. And Michigan winning is Detroit, beating the Cavs, but the Cavs are the worst team in the league right now. Other than that, I don't know what's going on. But I was just picking at them, really, about the Ohio thing. But really, we're back in a skid. I really want the Red Wings to get out of it. It's been a while since any Detroit pro team has been in the playoffs. The Lions, with that seventh loss on Thursday, they severely jeopardized their chance of the playoffs. What do you think, Annie? One more loss and then they're done?
Yeah, definitely, unfortunately.
They'll have to win out completely if they want any chance of making it.
Yeah.
And then they better sit there and hope and pray that the Vikings lose a couple games.
Yep.
More than a couple, some games. I mean, and they're gonna. They do have a head-to-head Packers left, but that's at the end of the year, and unfortunately, that's at Green Bay. If it was in Detroit, maybe that'd be different because Green Bay has not won on the road recently at all. They can't win on the road to save their lives, can they? They can't. They look worse than the Browns on the road this year. Worse than the Browns on. Great. Either, but hey, 4-6-1 are the Browns. They're better off than the Lions right now, if you think about it. They are. But they play again in a couple days. Pistons are back on the court tonight. 7 p.m. tip off, and they got a win a couple days ago, and they're looking decent, I would say. I'd like to see the Pistons doing just a little bit better, because I would like to see the Pistons as a team that wins playoff rounds and can be at least close to back where they had been 7 years ago. That period back where they were going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And 3 years in a row, unfortunately, they put up a fight but lost in six games. That was, wasn't that crazy that all three of those years they lost, their final loss was game six. That was crazy. But hopefully they'll can start to get better. All right. Now, Michigan plays North Carolina tomorrow night at the Chrysler Center. You'll be able to listen to the game on 7:90 a.m. tomorrow. I believe it's a 7:30 tip or so, as they are number 7 right now, undefeated. They've been doing pretty good, despite not having 3 of their top 4 scorers, because they all, from last year, because they all graduated. But nonetheless, they're still making it just fine without them. And their defense has been doing very well. Hopefully they can continue that. And maybe make up for what happened with football. Michigan State is also doing very well. They play tonight. You'll be able to listen to that game on ESPN 100.9 FM. The Spartans are ranked number 8. But as for Michigan, they have not one but 2 big tests, 2 of them. Yep, dos. One is North Carolina, the other, I believe, is Duke or... No, it's not Duke. It's not the Zags either. I forget. I'll let you folks know tomorrow about that. And then now for the world of football. Last night, in Houston, Texas, you had the 7-3 Texans taking on the 6-4 Titans. And the Texans doubled them up, 34-17. Their quarterback, their running back. For Houston, it was just a great team effort. And they did a good job at honoring their owner who brought professional football back to the city of Houston back in 2002 after it had left several years prior as the Tennessee Titans actually used to be the Houston Oilers. I don't know if you realized that, Annie, or did you?
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No.
So you thought both of those were expansion teams back in the 90s/early 2000s, didn't you?
Nope.
You thought both of them were actually around for a very long time, didn't you?
Yeah, I
Nope, Texans only since 02. Oilers were around a lot longer, but as the Oilers, but in 99 they moved to Nashville and became the Titans. So that's, I mean, 98 they didn't become the Titans. So that's what happened there, was a move and a rebrand. So the Texans were the expansion team. That's why we have 32 teams. But then, as we know, since then there's been a couple moves, you know, to Vegas. I mean, Vegas is getting a team. That does that AFC South look like right now? Well, Houston has it right now, 8-3. They're the first team ever to start 0-3 and then go on a great big huge 8-game winning streak to make it 8-3. You know, Midland got themselves to 8-3, but that was with an 0-2 start. So if you think about it, still kind of similar. But they're getting it done down there in Houston. So, sad to tell what will happen there, but the Jags, they are in shambles. Their quarterback got benched. Another player has to sit out because of a fight. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Jacksonville is in total shambles. Yeah. All of their goals and dreams they could have had for the playoffs this year, They just got shoved out the window. Because I think you could honestly see either Houston or the Chiefs is going to take their spot in the AFC Championship game. Probably. Possibly. Because we got to look at the Steelers, because they've been doing pretty good themselves. That Titans, I mean, for those of you all wondering, you know, Miracle Man, what's the Texans schedule like? Well, they got to go play Cleveland, who has actually been surprising a lot of people as they're 4-6-1. They already doubled the amount of wins that our 09 team did the year after our 0-16. I don't know why their recovery is moving that much faster, but it is. Because it took us 2 years even to get back to this point, remember? Mm-hmm. And they're doing it 1 year later. So that's kind of... Because it took us till the 13th game to really get back on it and win 4 in a row. So it's hard to tell what all in there, but they got to play Cleveland. They got to play the Colts again. And the Colts aren't exactly totally out of it either, but they don't have a long shot. And then they got to play the Jets, who are terrible. And then a couple of other games. So I would say for them, AFC South Championship likely. That other team in Texas too, that's becoming increasingly likely too, because especially when you're in Texas, you know, when you're in Texas in the pros, it really helps your home field advantage.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Dallas might be the loudest stadium in the league right now. Are you thinking the same thing, maybe?
For NFL, yeah.
So if a new stadium sets that noise record, who do you imagine it'll be? Dallas?
Yeah, for sure.
Houston, I feel like, was probably louder earlier when it was close. Because they were still kind of loud, you know, after they had scored all those points. So they, in the playoffs, Houston's very loud. that's just how they are in Texas, I felt, partially. And, folks, that's kind of... So, more to come on football as we do Football Central tomorrow night. Big Ten Championship, SEC Championship. Going to pick both of those. Also, Big 12 Championship. We got Lions to talk about. And then a couple of other to-be-determined picks for the NFL. As high school is done, so... But we are going to keep this going along. On your home for football coverage, Miracle Man Show. I promised you a Christmas song. It is 7:54. There is enough time for me to do it. I am going to do it right now. So, have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe, somewhere you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Have a holly jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and if you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe is hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. And with that, folks, until next time, God first, God always, and tomorrow night, so long, everybody.